David.
No, I'm not. But I like watching.
I can't believe I just told you that.
Why not?
Well, Jerry doesn't want anyone to know.
Now we need to know. We got to keep our secrets extra closer on that one.
Well, it's all right. I'm your fiance. Everyone assumes you'll tell me everything.
Well, don't have secrets.
I have so little secrets. It's not.
I know. I'm such an open
so
book.
Boring.
Where'd you get that from?
Well, we're a couple. It's understood.
I never heard of that.
It's impossible for me to keep a secret because my brain tells me. Did they say not to tell him or to tell him? Uh-huh. I get very confused.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack.
Normalcy has been restored. I think it's my favorite when everybody's here. All the seats are full. Well, except that seat. That's Gabe's backpack seat. But if Gabe's backpack is here, you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen. That means that Gabe is here.
What'd I miss? Anything cool happened in the last 4 days?
I'll let Jen handle that.
There's been some stuff. Gabe is back. Free agency is ongoing. We haven't heard from Gabe on the moves that the Packers have made. But before we get to that, apparently, you caught some flack. You caught some strays from our friends on Unsportsmanlike, the show that leads into us on ESPN Radio. Our friend Evan Cohen, of course, Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman also holding it down with him. And apparently he was not thrilled about you not being here this week. Take a listen.
So Gabe Neitzel is a friend of mine that I've known for 20 years. You hear him here on ESPN Radio, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in Milwaukee. And I tuned in the other day to try to hear what they were saying about the Packers offseason. He was off. I texted him. I said, you're taking off during free agency? He goes, when has that ever not been a good time to take off with the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Now it's not a good time. Now it's not a good time. Because even they identify in the modern NFL, it's what you got to do. You can't hedge when you have a good to really good quarterback.
Good point.
You got to go all in.
Okay. So first of all, shout out for the show. That's big. We appreciate that. But it came at your expense, apparently. Listen, I want to be very clear on this.
Yeah.
I agree with your thought process.
Historically, very safe time. Like, now would be the time to come back because now is the bargain free agent period, and that's when the Packers can pick up a couple of people here and there. You know, your Sammy Watkins of the world over the last handful of years.
The Ross for Less, if you will, where Goody usually shops during free agency.
What is your relationship with him?
With Evan?
Because he beats you up and you just sit there and take it. You're like Glass Joe.
Yeah. He's.
No, really. If I get in trouble, Gabe gets yelled at. If you get in trouble, Gabe gets yelled at. Gabe never comes back at him. He just.
I just love the punch out reference. Glass Joe. Mike Tyson.
Now, I love fighting with
Evco. With Evco. Yeah. Yes. No, he's great. Like you said, I've known Evan for damn near 20 years by now, but that's just our relationship. When he was at SiriusXM, he was filling in on an NBA show, and not to be all Aaron Jones and throw my, stats out there, but my college baseball career, I hit 299, and that's something that he loves to jab at. So, anytime he can, he made probably three references to 299, not baseball related. Like, he started I've got 299 questions about going on with the Bucks, but we got to keep it short. So he knows he's only poking me.
Okay.
That's what our relationship is. Right. And then he's my boss here. So, I don't have the guts that you have, Chew, to fight back with my boss the way, you will fire back.
It's amazing how gutsy you can be when there's no consequences. It's crazy. Look at all those guts. Yeah. Nothing ever happens when he says stuff, so I have big guts, too. But I do want to get your reaction to the big news this week, because, of course, I think the Packers shocked the world when they went out there and got Xavier McKinney. We knew that the Eagles were in on them. We knew that the Eagles are Philly, Jen, that the Giants wanted to keep him. Mm-hmm. And Brian Gutekunst, for once, and again, I know he has gotten free agents in the past, but for once goes out there and is like, this is the guy we want. Price be damned. We're bringing him home.
Well, and I think the shocking part about McKinney was they had already signed Josh Jacobs. Like, Jacobs was the first news that broke. And for me, I thought that would be it. Oh, okay, they signed Josh Jacobs. Good free agency, Goody. All right, let's pack it up. Let's start talking about the draft. because I didn't think that they were going to have enough money then to go out and spend. Now, of course, they got creative with the contracts, as you have to in today's NFL. But that was the shocking part to me. Because, yes, Goody has been the king of, we were involved. We were in the talks. Just got a little... They were the highest bidder for Xavier McKinney. So to have both of those on the opening day of free agency or the tampering period, I mean, that's what was so shocking. Because I thought that they could afford one. I thought they could get one big free agent, but they were able to get creative and get a second.
Did they overpay him?
I mean,
we were talking 13... Before free agency, he wound up getting 17. Well, the two things shocked me. How much they paid him and how little they were offering Aaron Jones. We're going to ask Jason coming up.
Yeah, we are.
You missed some good stuff yesterday. I love just sitting there and just watching.
What do you mean sitting there? You're Al Pacino putting his finger in the holy water.
I know, but I just started the whole thing. I wanted to stay out of it.
The worst thing I could have done was say, hey. Just stay away from Aaron Jones.
That's something you and Joshy have in common. Just like start something and then just kick back and watch everything.
It tracked for me, though, because Jason wound up talking for a while and I just sit there and on my computer, I kind of forgot what I asked.
You stare at the ESPN.com opening page?
That's exactly what he does. Tries to memorize those letters. E-S-P.
One of these days you'll get N.
M? No, these days Billy. You'll
get there.
So Xavier McKinney, do you think they overpaid? Because you and I had gone back and forth on this, right? And I was saying, if that's your guy and you think you've got a new defensive coordinator in there and he has told you, I need this guy for this position, you can breed a lot of goodwill by giving your new defensive coordinator the guy he wants, as opposed to, well, I got this knockoff Xavier McKinney. Will you accept that?
Well, and the difference with McKinney is, I mean, he's also only 25 years old. Like that, I think is that plays such a big part into this, because usually a player like that isn't going to hit free agency. The Giants have so many other issues going on that they let this safety end up hitting free agency. Did they overpay? Probably, but that's the nature of free agency. Mm-hmm. When somebody hits the open market, you get in a bidding war, you're going to end up kind of overpaying a little bit. So
it really told us, okay, the Giants want to play cover two, where the safety is not as important. Mm-hmm. That's what they're telling us. And the Packers don't want to play as much cover two. That's why they went out and got him. Because they feel they got an aggressive guy that can, you know, cover tight ends and cover receivers. So just two different philosophies, which is fine.
We don't think that they are done in the defensive backs area. They might still add another safety, maybe even just depth in general. But let's go to Josh Jacobs, because as you mentioned, that was the other big free agent signing. And were you like so many people who for about 15 minutes was in a state of euphoria, thinking that they had Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones as a 1-2 punch out of the backfield?
Well, that's because Ian Rappaport went on television and told me that. Mm-hmm. He went on television and said, hey, they're going to have both. Like, that's the only reason I thought that, is because somebody who is reputable, who has a good reputation, went on national TV and said that. That's why I thought that they had both. So, like, following this while trying to play a round of golf, like, nobody else is paying attention to this. I'm like, I'm constantly on my phone, barely paying attention, you know, rattling through. All right, guys, you want the good news or you want the bad news? Oh, what about the bad news? Well, they had to release Aaron Jones. But we got Xavier McKinney. So it...
What was the reaction by your pals about the Aaron Jones thing?
I think some disappointment, but I think at the same time,
it's a business.
An
though,
understanding, you know? Yeah. Of, hey, you got younger at that position. You hopefully got better at that position. Like, Josh Jacobs at his peak has been better than Aaron Jones. Like, that's yeah. Josh Jacobs has been
but the gap isn't huge. Because Aaron Jones is a better receiver.
I actually like
than
that.
Josh Jacobs.
Hey, flag on the play.
Go to replay. Yeah. And then Josh Jacobs is a better runner.
Yeah, sure.
So there's probably a bigger gap between Josh Jacobs, the runner, and Aaron Jones as opposed to the receiving part of it.
Yeah,
so
probably.
You did upgrade.
Yeah, and you got younger at that position. And honestly, I think Goody was my biggest criticism of Aaron Jones in his Packers career has been his lack of consistency.
Yes.
He just hasn't put together back-to-back great games. It just doesn't happen all that often. So now when he has five straight, including the two playoff games, 100-yard rushing games, I think Goody's going, well, he's 29, he's going to turn 30. That's probably going to be as good as it gets. Like, he's not going to be able to repeat that. He just did something in his career that he's never done before at 29. Yeah. Do I think he's going to keep doing that? Probably not. So I think Goody just kind of bet at that position. It's better to be younger.
Should he have taken the deal? Should Aaron Jones have taken the less than $4 million with some incentives versus going up to Minnesota, taking the $6 million with the $1 million incentives?
Depends upon what the incentives were. But I can't imagine. I would have to imagine whatever the incentives are in both deals, it's going to be easier to reach in Minnesota. Because here, you know, you're splitting time.
Sure.
Like, you know, if you get 1,200 yards, Aaron, you can get $1 million. Well,
do you think he knew that on Friday, though? Because the report was that they rescinded the offer on Friday. You think he knew on Friday that there was going to be some big dog coming in and chewing up those snaps?
He probably had some sort of idea that the Packers were going to pivot because the run without him, Emmanuel Wilson would have been the only running back under contract. So I think, he's smart enough. Rosenhaus is smart enough. Maybe they didn't know specifically it was going to be Jacobs, but they also know that the Packers have been sniffing around the running back market for
Jonathan Taylor.
12 months already.
I think it would have been better for the team if you got Aaron Jones at $7 million. Then you can take the difference between Jones and Josh Jacobs maybe a little more and go get very good linebacker.
Aaron Jones at $4 million? Because that's what they offered him, under
that's
four.
That's a slap in the face then.
Well, that's what.
If they got him at seven and still had that money left over, the difference between Josh Jacobs, they could have filled another hole with a linebacker. See what I'm saying? If Aaron Jones took it.
I think they were never going to pay that much.
You don't think they were going to get the seven?
Well, and also because, Dallas wasn't going to pay that much for Aaron Jones either, right? We talked about how they were out on that. On the Moss sweepstakes, and I told you guys, as soon as I heard that from Graziano, I was like, that does not bode well for our guy Aaron Jones, because he wants more than that.
That's fine, but I don't want A.J. Dillon as the backup. I don't.
So that was other news yesterday. We will get into that as the show goes on, but the Packers did, in fact, bring back A.J. Dillon. I thought it was a foregone conclusion by a lot of people that he would, in fact, be looking for work elsewhere. And it was this weird fourth-year qualifying contract, which not a lot of people had heard of, but essentially it's a vet minimum with the ability to bump it up by $1.25 million. So I think I heard he's getting 2.5, but the stipulation there is that they can cut him or release him at any time, right? So he's a body, he's there until he's not.
Which tells you there was zero interest. Zero.
Or
none.
That he just really wanted to stay in Green Bay. Could be a combination of both. Yeah.
You can go.
I don't think you take bare minimum and little job security. But for
unless
the Packers,
there's
it makes
no other options.
Right. For the Packers, it makes sense to me. You're basically getting a body for free who's familiar with everything Green Bay. There is a bit of, when it's as little as $1.25 million, there is value in that for the Packers. You don't want him carrying the ball. But Josh Jacobs is a guy that doesn't really come off the field all that much. Even when he misses games, he outsnaps Aaron Jones by at least 100 per season. So he's on the field more. He's pass block specialist, maybe short yardage, give the guy a breather. He won't play much.
Well, we should give him his flowers there. He has historically been in the top 10-ish. He's been in the top field when it comes to pass protection. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we do recognize what he has done really well on the team. As people have often said, he's not as good as they need him to be. He has not been as good as people want him to be. Any other stuff we're missing?
Well, they still need to draft the running back if we're going to keep talking about 100%. That position.
Yeah.
Because, Jacobs is basically a one-year deal with options after that, right? They're going to be able to get out of the contract pretty easily after the first year. If A.J. Dillon is only on a one-year deal, you still need a plan for 2025 and having a running back that you can kind of bring along. Again, not a running back you're going to take in the second or third round, but a fifth round back, the way Aaron Jones
was. What was his guaranteed money?
Who?
Jacobs.
I don't know. 13?
Why would he take the deal?
Because nobody
pays running backs. Saquon's deal better?
Probably, but Saquon is better.
Not by a lot, though.
No, but he's a better receiver than Jacobs is.
God, I would not want to be a running back in today's NFL.
Josh Jacobs is only guaranteed $12 million. His cap hit is only going to be $5 million.
This season.
Yep. And then after that, he's going to be in the, take a pay cut thing.
Yeah. Well, because he's got a $5.9 million roster bonus that's due in 2025. You can convert that. Blah, 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 blah.
All right. So, you got to draft a back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other news was that David Bakhtiari obviously was released. Nobody's shocked about that. I did say, from an impact standpoint, him being released did free up that money so that they could go out there and improve the roster, which they have done. I'm feeling very good about where the Packers are right now because we still have the draft ahead of them. And that means that they can still add to some of those spaces that we feel like they need. Obviously, we think they need another safety. We have talked about the linebacker position. We have talked about the offensive line for backups at the very least. And of course, you mentioned running back. So just some of the areas that they will hopefully address in the upcoming NFL draft. A couple of things. They are introducing Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney this morning to the media. I believe that is at 9 a.m. Ordinarily, I think Jason Wilde, you would be at said press conferences. But I think today is the big haircut. I think today he's got the big haircut. Right, where he goes from Green Bay down to the south side of Madison, if you will, to get his haircut. So he's supposed to join us now, right after this, on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I believe he will be driving to the haircut. Got to ask him about that, amongst the other questions that I'm sure Chew will have for Jason in about 3 minutes. Gabe?
Ewald makes it easy. It's a promise they made in 1964, and it continues now, 60 years later, making car buying easy for families across southeast Wisconsin. So celebrate Ewald Automotive's 60th anniversary. Yeah, that's right, 60th anniversary, with special savings in over 1,300 vehicles. Shop the easy way with the lowest prices guaranteed. Plus, with Ewald, you are backed by their exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. So hurry in now for Ewald's 60th anniversary sale. And because it's Ewald, of course it's going to be easy. Just go to ewaldauto.com.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
We have come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Jason Wilde is en route this morning. Jason, can you confirm? Is this the day of the big haircut?
It is. Yes. Roses and Hope Salon is about 17 minutes from my spot on the Beltline.
That's
right,
going to be a perfect timing. So Gabe wasn't here. I know that you guys have been talking about this week. So you really travel 2.5 hours from Green Bay to the south side of Madison for your haircut?
I try to combine it with a trip to our ESPN Madison office and the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. But, and with the girls' crazy schedules and the amount I drive to Milwaukee for the Milwaukee Ballet with Maddie and all the stuff Sid does, I have not gotten a haircut since August. So it's a really good look. I've been wearing a lot of hats. I think the combination of the mullet and the thinning on top, which if we're looking for partnerships, I really think, remember when Urlacher went from bald to having a full head of hair?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think I might want to give that a shot. I want to see how that works for me, but because then I would still be able to get haircuts in Madison, right? Because that stuff grows, doesn't it? Don't they like?
Oh, it's real hair.
If those billboards on your way to Chicago are any indication, then yes, that is real hair, and it continues to grow.
Yeah, see? So I think that way everybody wins. Lacey wins because I still get my hair cut. We get a new partnership. I look better when I look in the mirror and tip my head down. It'll be perfect forever. It's a win-win-win-win-win.
Well, if you find something, Jason, that works, let me know, pal.
Gabe transplanted from your beard. In line. You know, they take it from the back
you
of your
got
head.
It,
so if you got hair on the back of your head, you're fine. They just bring it up to the top.
Jason, regarding Aaron Jones, we're not going to go. let's go to another running back. What does it tell you that A.J. Dillon is coming back to the Pack? What does that tell you about the interest he received around the league?
Tepid, I would call it. Now, we talked about this yesterday briefly. He had some other teams that had expressed an interest in him, but to what degree, I'm not sure it was a strong interest. I mean, look, he accepted, like, I'll be honest with you, I knew this existed, like, vaguely knew that there was some sort of, veteran minimum salary benefit for a guy who'd played 4 years in the league. Like, we all know the veteran salary benefit where you can sign a guy to the veteran minimum for his experience level, but then be charged on the cap, the minimum for a less experienced player. So that way it was designed when they reworked the CBA back in 2011 to allow, you know, more veteran players to not get squeezed out of the league entirely because their veteran minimum is, you know, 1.8 million or whatever it might be if you're a eighth, ninth year guy. But no team wanted to have that level of a cap charge. So this is real. I find this fascinating that the Packers use this. And I think Goody and Russ Ball deserve a ton of credit. I'm sure there's not a lot of instances where there's a player who fits this option, but basically they're going, his base salary will be the minimum for a going to be fifth year player, which is $1.125 million. And then they can pay him up to an additional $1.45 million and not have that count against the cap. Just the base, the minimum base salary would count against the cap. So he can make an extra, you know, basically $1.5 million, and it doesn't count against the cap. But what that tells me is that his market was terrible and that he's a guy who loves Green Bay, loves Door County, loves his wife and her family who are from Green Bay, and he was willing to take a prove-it deal that is not very good financially in hopes of, you know, earning more next year, because that this does not happen with guys that are at the end of their rookie contracts who weren't first round picks. Usually, you know, look at what McKinney got at his position. He's in the same spot as AJ Dillon, coming off a second round pick coming off of his rookie deal. And one guy broke the bank and the other guy's coming back on a minimum salary deal.
Jason, I saw that David Bakhtiari scheduled to appear on Woldy and Tausch this morning.
Mm.
What's the most
first I've heard of it.
What's the most pressing thing that you want to talk to Bakhtiari about?
Whether he's up for the director of Homeland Security role.
That's exactly where I was going. Would it be Treasury? Would you be handling security? Security feels
security,
more appropriate.
Like offensive line.
Homeland Security.
Yes,
he's
a million
protector
percent.
By nature,
absolutely.
Right?
100%. Yeah.
Health and Human Services.
maybe not a strong suit.
Yeah.
Well, that was a low blow.
I know. It's me, though.
All right.
But what do you want to talk to David about?
Oh, did you want a real answer?
I wanted a real answer, yes. Preview the big guest that
you're
coming up on your show. Yes. Stupid hour is over. Well,
wasn't sure if your sidekicks were done there. Look, I think there's a couple things, and one of them, and I'll be curious to see, because one thing he has never been is cautious with what he says or guarded with what he says. And so I would love to know, how he feels about how it ended. Because, you know, I think Aaron Jones, with his skull at the end of his press conference in the Twin Cities, I think he's hurt still. I don't know if David, after the way the last 3 years have played out, can necessarily feel hurt. But if he does, he has the right to feel however he wants. But I'll be curious to see if he feels like, you know, the Packers have done right by him and all that other stuff. On the flip side of it, the one thing that I'm really curious about is that I felt like, and I feel like I'm pretty decent at reading people, I felt like he was a big-time skeptic going into last season, right? Like, a skeptic of Jordan Love, skeptic of how young their roster was, skeptic of how good they'd be without his BFF quarterback. And I, at least in some of my interactions with him, got the sense that, you know, not only Jordan Love, but things kind of won him over and that he really was pleasantly, very pleasantly surprised by how last season then played out. And he came back in December to kind of be a support system. He had been gone after the surgery and everything else. And so I'd be curious for his observations, even though he's not going to be on the team, of what he thought of last season and what he thinks of this team moving forward. And then also, you know, has he talked to the Jets yet? And when will he be joining them for the 2024 season?
Jason, I get very leery about Twitter rumors, but yesterday I did see a lot of people getting excited about the potential reunion of Micah Hyde and the Packers. There seemed to be one tweet out there reporting mutual interest between the two sides. I don't want you to confirm or deny those reports. I asked Diana Rossini, who works at The Athletic. I said, are you hearing anything about this? She said she would dig on it as well. But would Micah Hyde be a good person to add to this defensive backs group?
I'll dig on it. I'll text Micah when we're done on the phone here. He is one of my, he is the quintessential guy that you want on your football team. And he is in the top 10 of guys that when they were moving on from him, I thought this is going to be a mistake. And it ranks up there with when Mike Sherman chose Cletus Hunt over Vonnie Holiday, like they were only going to extend one, and he picked the wrong horse. And Ted Thompson did the same thing with Morgan Burnett, who never really became the player that he was always advertised as being. And Micah Hyde went on to go to a couple of Pro Bowls in Buffalo and become, you know, one of the top safeties in the league. He won our Tom Mulhern Award back in 16 before he left in free agency. He also was one of those guys that, again, I would argue this team has not done a great job at separating from its best players. The Packers told him with 6 weeks left in the 2016 season that they would not be bringing him back, which I'm no expert on motivation, but we got six games left in the season. You're not going to be here anymore. So I'm going to motivate you by telling you, hey, you better play well for the next team that's going to be signing you. But I would love for him to come back. Selfishly, I'm running out of guys in that locker room, and he was definitely one of my guys. So I don't root for much, but I will be happy to root for that to happen.
What's Yash's status, Jason? Is he getting any interest?
Not that I have seen. Now, we're into kind of that next wave, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's the big, like, Patrick Swayze would surf it in Point Break type wave at the start of free agency. And now it's kind of these little baby waves after that. And look, I understand that there's that level of crazy excitement, right, with the first wave of free agent signings, and rightfully so, because there's huge money getting thrown around, big names, et cetera. But I've always thought that the really good GMs, and Goody has been very good about this, whether it's been in season or in this second wave, of finding really good bargains, good football players who don't cost you a lot of money. I mean, you can say what you want about Devondre Campbell, who was officially released yesterday, but like they got him in June of 2021, and the dude ended up being a first-team All-Pro. We know Rasul Douglas off of a practice squad. There's a bunch of examples. Jonathan Owens was in this kind of wave of free agents, and he ended up starting, 11 games for them last year and playing pretty well. So I think it'll be interesting to see not just who the Packers can add, but where some of these guys that, I don't get the sense that, you know, unless Yash is going to do the same thing that A.J. Dillon did. I mean, remember when Stenovich basically came out and said publicly he didn't really rise to the occasion of fighting for the starting left tackle job against Rashid Walker. I mean, I think they're ready to try new people and draft some guys next month and kind of reset their depth chart on the offensive line. So I don't think he'll be back. I just don't understand why people don't think Bulaga and Tausch and I, and obviously those guys know a hell of a lot more than I do, but those guys both played tackle in the league for a decade, and they both think Yash is a pretty decent player. And so do I, but my opinion's not quite as valuable as theirs. I just don't understand what it was about him. Mm-hmm. It just felt like he fell out of favor with his coaching staff and never really kind of regained it, because he was a pretty good player for them for those couple of years when Bakhtiari was first injured and missing time, and then he kind of became persona non grata.
Yeah, and Gabe has said several times he had opportunities to snag the starting gig and it just never materialized. So that you're right, there's something there, but it could be a good depth spot, depth position, if they do need to go that route. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Good luck with the haircut. Have a great show and a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning on ESPN Milwaukee. Are you ready to upgrade the concrete surfaces in your home? Let me tell you about Showtime Floors and Floor Shield. It's used by military bases, airports, and businesses. Cool, Jen. What does that have to do with me? Well, do you have a garage? Do you have a concrete surface? If you're noticing cracks or uneven surfaces on your concrete surface, it is time to call Showtime Floors for their Floor Shield option, because that will make it better. It's eco-friendly. It's non-toxic. It's UV stable. So if you want to use it outside on a patio, you can do that also. They offer same-day installation, and you can enjoy a 15-year warranty against wear. And if you mention ESPN for free crack repair, they'll also give you 10% off your order. Get more information by visiting ShowtimeFloors.com. That's ShowtimeFloors.com, and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. Craig Karmazin coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I am so impressed with Jordan Love, you know, and I think, like, Packers fans should feel so good about Jordan Love.
Fridays with Mo.
I think Rodgers never spoke out and was direct, and Giannis should be praised for being clear so that everyone knows, hey, Giannis told the organization what he wanted.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, Friday.
We love spending a few minutes with the head honcho, Craig Karmazin, each and every Friday. Good morning, Craig. How you doing?
Good. I feel like I'm you. Like, I'm just, like, in Marietta, Georgia for college game day right now on a Friday. Like, just in a random place on a Friday morning.
Are you really in Marietta, Georgia?
I am. I'm at First Watch for breakfast.
Love First
Watch. I'm in
Watch.
Atlanta.
Not yeah, a partner, but yeah, still a fan.
What are you buying? The Hawks?
No, I'm not buying anything. No, okay. No, no. I am going to see the Hawks. That's my next appointment today. But no, we have an office down in Atlanta, so we did a screening of my movie, and now we're hanging out for a few days.
I had no idea we had an office down in Atlanta. I might have to swing by on all my trips to Atlanta, which are many. Craig, big win by the Bucks last night, and it was a late effort by them. They have now beat the Sixers, I believe, three times this season. That bodes well for the way that the end of the season goes and the seeding and whatnot. How are you feeling about the Bucks right now and what they've been able to do since the All-Star break?
I'm feeling really good. You know, the thing I keep looking at is the defensive rating, and, you know, the idea is, in my mind, if we can be a top 10 defensive team, and right now we are like 10th since Doc was hired, with our offense, I think we can win a championship. So that's the equation that we need to get to. And obviously everything doesn't look totally right just yet, and it's still the Sixers without Joel Embiid and all that. So it's not there yet, but I think we're starting to see at least the equation of what could get us there.
All right, sticking with basketball, how far do you think, with Kolek back, how far do you think Marquette can go in this tournament? Can they get to the Final Four if all the stars align?
Yeah, I mean, right? That's what you said it. I think they're the kind of team that's not like, oh, they're a Final Four team no matter what, but they're the kind of team that, like, with their coach, their style, their everything, if they get the right matchups, they get on the right roll, Cam Jones has a Cam Jones game, like, yeah, they could be a Final Four team, but, like, I also feel like they could be they could lose in the second round, or they could be in the Final Four.
From a sports business aspect, Craig, when you take a look at the NCAA tournament and how big it is, and really,
wait, Gabe. Oh, Gabe, I didn't know you were back.
Okay, yeah, here we go. All right, how many?
Yep. Take a shot.
Yep, go ahead, take the free shot.
No.
Evan already took the shot this morning, but feel free.
I didn't know there was a shot by Evan, but like I would listen to, like, when this was all going on. It would be like Chewy would just be like, yeah, and with the salary cap, and Jen would be like, yeah, because of the salary, like, and then there's just like a pause, and it's like, I feel like Like, there's just places, Gabe, that you're just supposed to be on this show, especially in the biggest moments. And I swear, like, Jen and Chewy were just looking at each other. They're like, well, we don't know this crap. We actually have a life. And they're like, where the hell is Gabe?
I mean, historically, Craig, taking off during free agency week is a pretty safe time to take off in the Green Bay Packers season.
I just didn't know after 20-plus years that you had earned vacation. I'd never known you to take a vacation before.
Yeah, I know. The one time I go away.
By the way, do we have any, like, you know, Chewy, you've said it to me in the past, and obviously you were not a recipient of a lot of loyalty from your organization in your time of need. But, I mean, like, do fans ultimately just not care who the players are? Like Aaron Jones for Jacobs, like, does everyone just, like, kind of forget about it, and then we boo Aaron Jones because he's a Viking when, like, the guy gave his, like, heart and soul to us for his entire career? Like,
well, that depends. Well, so, do you think he went to the Vikings out of spite?
Again, if he did, I think every fan listening would have done it too if the Packers had done to them what they did to him.
Well, that may be true, but they didn't react that way on social media after the announcement.
What I think it is, in a nutshell, is players believe that they're loyal to their franchises and think that the team is equally as loyal when they're not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but then I feel like, is there a point where fans may ever side with a player, or is the shield of the NFL and of the Packers so strong that no matter what, they go with them? Because, I don't know, like, it seems like in some, like, if the Brewers do it, it's, oh, the Brewers are cheap and, like, blah, 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 blah. When the Packers do it, it's like, oh, Aaron Jones is, like, you know, the enemy now, like, I don't totally.
Well, a couple of things there.
Get it.
A couple of things. So, first of all, the NFL has the salary cap to hide behind, right? Like, well, we can't afford to keep all these. We only have a certain amount to spend. We're the Brewers with no salary cap in Major League Baseball. That's why fans can say that they're cheap. Second of all, my buddies in a group text, my college buddies that we have, were ready to root for Aaron Jones until he went to the Vikings and did the school thing at the end of his press conference. Now they're rooting against Aaron Jones because he went to one of your biggest rivals and he did the school thing. It's like, okay, now it's easy to root against him.
And now he's posting his stats online in response to, you know, comments about his hairline. I mean, obviously his feelings are very hurt. That's obvious. But can I tell you something, Craig? Have you taken any time to, like, watch videos or interviews with Josh Jacobs? Have you done any deep dives on this guy?
No.
Fans are going to love him. He is down to earth. He is God-fearing. He was homeless for much of his childhood. They lived out of his father's car, him and his four siblings. He's one of these guys that, like, when he speaks, there's an authenticity there. It doesn't feel like he's trying to, like, be something he's not. I think, and he's gonna speak to the media today, so fans will get their first chance to see
him. Gabe, now that Gabe's back, we can ask the question and not just stare at each other. Couldn't we have had Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones, Gabe?
Yes. Yeah, could have done it.
You're going to tie up $20 million in running back?
Well,
I don't think that's a
good
decision.
Again, Jacobs this year is $5
million.
Huh?
Jacobs this year.
Inside and outside? Like, they would be the combination of those guys with Aaron Jones outside, Josh Jacobs inside. Like, they would be, with all those receivers, I mean, they would be unbelievable in offense.
Yes, so, and they could have if Aaron Jones would have taken the under $4 million plus incentives offer.
That was never going to happen. Right?
I think they knew that.
Yeah. No, I think that was more of a...
Christian McCaffrey. Aaron Jones against the 49ers with Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, against, like, the 49ers. Talk to me about the first 12 games of the season.
Yeah, but Craig, you need balance.
Yeah.
They don't play him.
I know it's an offense.
He doesn't play.
It's an offense-driven league, but you got to balance out the defense with the offense.
Well, but Chewy, you could have done it. Had they given what the Vikings deal is, like, you know, they were ready to give Aaron Jones form. Okay, now take that 1 point, whatever you gave A.J. Dillon, tack that onto the Aaron Jones deal. Like, you could have had your running back room for around $12 million against the salary cap this year, and you're fine with that.
Yeah, but I don't think you need it. And Joshy said that Joshy doesn't come off the field, right, Joshy?
Josh Jacobs typically plays all three downs.
Yeah.
Well, but, again, you would be able to split that up. You'd be able to find ways to slice that pie.
You're telling me against the 49ers, against those elite teams, like, you don't need a running back? Like, look what Aaron Jones did in the playoffs. Look at how important that is. And you could have Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs and obviously kept Aaron Jones that much healthier based on how durable Josh Jacobs is.
I mean,
like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, but Chewy, it might not work from an ego standpoint, Craig.
Chewy. I think it's, you have to balance.
Watch
and again,
Aaron Jones. Whose ego? Josh Jacobs? Because we've seen Aaron Jones' ego. Aaron Jones' ego was like the core of the culture of this
team.
Tell me about Aaron Jones' ego when he turns down the Packers' offer. I know, again, I understand, but if you wanted to be a Packer for life, which is what he put out there, I think he messed up negotiations by saying that. And I think, to be perfectly honest, I think the Packers messed up negotiations when Brian Gutekunst went out publicly and said, absolutely, he will be back. I think both of those statements gave the other side more leverage than they actually had.
That's why people need to love the name on the front of the jersey and not the back.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I mean in the NFL, because I don't think this game is true in the NBA, right? I don't think in the NBA people would look at it the same way. I think it's so important. And you look at what the Bucks have done going into the luxury tax and the repeater tax and, you know, losing tens and tens of millions of dollars to keep this team together. I hope fans appreciate that.
Oh, I'm watching clips of Josh Jacobs right now on Get Up on the television above me. I'm getting so excited. I got goosebumps. And that's the thing, Craig, to be honest with you. It's the fact that they did go out and get somebody so good. It's the fact that they went out and got somebody who really can either elevate this offense or at least keep it at the same. I don't think it's a drop-off at all.
So, Jen, you're telling me that I should look at this as, hey, we traded Drew Holiday, who, like, we love and is the culture and is the best and is amazing, and we got Dame Lillard.
Yes, I made that reference the other day. Yes, it was exactly how people felt about the Drew Holiday thing. You didn't want to let Drew go. He was obviously part of the, I don't want to say he was the heart and soul, much like Aaron Jones was, but it was very similar, and obviously he had done a ton in the community, and people liked him very, very, very much. But you go out and you make the team better. And it's a tough pill to swallow, but it's a reality in sports. And if you want your team to be in the Super Bowl, I think Josh Jacobs gets you closer to being in the Super Bowl than Aaron Jones did. If for no other reason than he is 3 years plus younger.
And you could say the same for Prince Fielder when they had to let him go. They loved it. But it's just a business decision, and these players have to know that.
I think Jen just gave me almost like a Few Good Men version of, like, Craig, you can't handle the truth. Like, we need to make moves like this if we want to go to Super Bowls. Like, you know, and you and your soft Aaron Jones love isn't going to get us to the Super Bowl. All right, I get it. I'm in.
To answer your earlier question, I think the only player I can think of, Craig, that fans followed was Brett. Like, the fan base was incredibly split over Brett. Like, Packers fans buying Vikings jerseys is insane. Whereas now, Aaron Jones, he just wasn't at that. That's the type of level you have to get to in order to split an NFL fan base and have them follow a player versus the team.
Yeah, Aaron Jones is just Jennings. When Jennings went to the Vikings.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Big deal. On to the next.
Yes, it is. Aaron Jones.
Huh?
There'll be a few more Aaron Jones jerseys. Like when Aaron Jones comes back as a Viking, people will wear their Packers Aaron Jones jersey as a way to show they're supporting the Packers, but they have an appreciation for Aaron Jones.
I don't know, man. Him doing the skull thing
and
pissed a lot of people off.
And the stats. Putting his stats out is
weak. The purple sombrero, too.
Sauce.
Purple sombrero last night.
I mean, what's Chewy's with the stats? Like, Chewy was on social media, like, seeing these stats. Like,
I got Gabe back. I'm confident now.
Yeah. He's pretty much covered. Yeah. Gabe just gives him all the information before we go on
sliding
there.
Over there.
Yeah, Greeny did, just for whatever it's worth, name the addition of Josh Jacobs to the Green Bay Packers his fourth best move in free agency. Of all of the moves in free agency, he's only on number three now, so I don't know what number one is going to be. Two is the Eagles signing of Saquon Barkley.
What if it's
McKinney?
Continues.
What if it's them signing McKinney?
Has Kirk Cousins been named yet? I'm down in Atlanta. They're pretty excited about Kirk Cousins.
As they should be. I mean, Kirk Cousins
really
makes that team better.
Should they be that excited about Kirk?
I mean,
congrats
more
on the divisional round.
He
makes them better.
That?
Oh, he did name it number one. God bless America, Craig. Falcons signing Kirk Cousins is Greeny's number one move of free agency so far.
The Falcons are now the third highest odds to win their division in the NFL based on how bad their division is. And they really only are committed to 2 years for big money to Cousins. So I think it is a really good move.
Yeah, because they're loaded on offense. They're loaded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be.
How about the Bears? The Bears loaded with Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
He's played just as many games as Christian Watson and has less touchdowns. Congrats.
Yeah, but
why is that such a sick burn?
Like, really isn't, though, because he still had 1,200 yards receiving last year in 13 games.
Great. Caleb Williams. Bye, Craig.
Bye, Craig. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a good weekend.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the Jewelry Center. Let's be honest. Most guys don't have a clue. When it comes to buying jewelry, Gabe's one of the smart ones. Got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the Jewelry Center for his wedding last year. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry like my championship ring. When it needs work, I know where I'll be taking it, to the Jewelry Center. They have three locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can just text me a picture of what she wants. The Jewelry Center can custom create any piece from just a photo. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The Jewelry Center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, and Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
In about an hour, we're going to hear from Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. They are going to be introduced to the public today up at Lambeau Field. Xavier McKinney made a little bit of a faux pas, a little bit of a mistake.
Did he do?
Well, he was on social media and he was asking fans, Packers fans, what number should I wear?
Sure.
The old, I think it was 29. Should I go with 29 or should I go with 15?
Oops.
Yeah, for safety. Ugh. That's disgusting.
There's a different reason that you can't wear 15 in Green Bay.
Let him figure it out.
Oh, Bart Starr.
Hey!
Yeah, but he can't wear 5 either, right?
Correct.
That one's unofficially retired.
Yeah, that shouldn't be retired. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
Paul Hornung?
Some of these numbers should not be retired.
Uh-oh.
Wait.
I'm just saying.
Do you think you know the numbers that are retired?
I could guess.
You think you could guess successfully?
Ones that should be retired?
Well, no,
retired. Tell me the ones that are retired. Again, 5 is unofficially retired. I don't even know the last time someone wore 5.
Well, let's go viral again. 66.
There you go. That's one of them.
Should it be?
What?
I'm just saying, man.
Just stick with the ones that are.
4's not retired.
4 is retired.
Should be.
I'm sure. The night they retired.
What are you batting right now?
I mean, technically, 1 for 2.
12 will be and should be.
Okay.
92 should be.
Is.
He's really skirting the rules here. Yeah.
He's made this his own game.
I know Tony Canadeo is, have no idea what number he is.
Really?
2?
Close.
3.
Yeah.
3?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're just missing 1.
Hold on. Reggie? I have no idea.
Not only is the number retired, but there's a building.
The joke that Jason always makes when he says, back when you played with...
Oh, Don Hutson. Which number is he?
14.
I'd like to say you did better at that than I thought you would, but I'm not exactly sure how many you got and how many you didn't. I
mean, he got them all except for Don Hutson.
When he was like, 92 should be.
So are they retired, though, or are they not?
Those are the retired numbers.
3, 4, 14, 15, 66, and 92 are retired.
And then, as Gabe said, unofficially, 12,
yes,
which will be retired.
Yes.
And said 5 for Paul Hornung.
What's the criteria?
They don't really have one.
Well, you need a criteria.
Do you?
There's never really a criteria. It's just legends.
All of a sudden, you're a criteria guy, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean,
usually it's fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah,
the eye test.
Suddenly, you know? Criteria is moved up to the top of your list.
You know it when you see it, guy.
Well, I've heard through the grapevine that Forrest Gregg was one of the best tackles to ever play the game. Okay. So why isn't he retired?
Why isn't 75 retired? I don't know.
Who's another Hall of Fame? Nah, Lofton, no. I mean, what's the criteria? Obviously, you got to be in the Mothership Hall of Fame.
Correct.
But where do you go from there?
Yeah, and like your impact on the franchise, the history of the franchise. Like, there's no criteria. I mean, very few places have criteria.
They have 25 Hall of Famers, according to this article on Packers.com. Oh, well, that was from actually 2019, so LeRoy would be in there since then.
No, not LeRoy. Shouldn't be retired, but...
Obviously, isn't. They've given away 36 to a bunch of players.
The D-lineman, what's his name from way back?
Dave Robinson?
Willie Davis.
Oh, Willie Davis.
Should be retired. That guy was a beast.
Yeah, so again, I mean, all those names are also on the facade inside Lambeau Field. If you played a majority of your time or had a significant impact with the Green Bay Packers and are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, your name gets put on the inside of the stadium. Your number's not retired, but you still get honored. So like LeRoy, his name... inside the stadium, but 36
but not
going to be
retired.
But 36 won't be retired. But he's going to be recognized as
Paul Hornung retired.
Again, his name's on the facade. The number 5 is not up there, but it's kind of an unofficial thing.
Yeah, was it Lombardi who said he's not going to give it away? But then people ended up giving it away for a short period, and then they took giving it away back. So now no one is 5. It's a fluid situation. What I want to know what your criteria would be, Chu, if you were to develop
elite of elite. I mean, elite.
Isn't that their criteria?
elite.
So is that, correct me if I'm wrong, sounds a little bit like the eye test. Seems a little bit like it might be the eye test.
Should the Baltimore Ravens retire Joe Flacco?
He is elite. No, but am I right or wrong?
I don't know what you're even arguing anymore.
Brett elite.
I don't know what the question
elite,
is.
Bart Starr elite.
Yes. Like, you're telling me Ray Nitschke's not elite?
Are you a big number retired guy? There's not enough there?
Well, you do run out of numbers. Many. That's the thing.
I think there's too many.
Well, so your issue is what, Canadeo?
Well, I never played with him, even as much as Jason says I did. I don't know.
So now you're an unreliable source.
Did I miss it, or did you play with Don Hudson, too?
Let's retire AJ Dillon.
So you didn't play with Ray Nitschke.
Big quad.
Didn't play with Ray Nitschke. Take him out. Tony Canadeo. I don't know.
Biggest quads in the land. Yes. Throw him in the Hall of Fame. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this.